Welcome, Kings, to the Gobcast episode 2. I'm here with everyone from the last episode, so we've got Ola Forkbeard, otherwise known as John. John, how are you?
I am pretty good.
I'm here with Eli, otherwise known as Goblin Lucky One, who I'm sure you've seen his postings on Reddit.
Hello, everyone.
And I'm here with Scatman, that's Marcelo, also posting his goblining on YouTube. How are you, my man?
Exhausted. I'm on my second beer. Great.
A podcast of absolute kings. So, I mean, I really just want to talk about calling our brethren kings from now on. I'm on this a bodybuilding Facebook page.
I mean, we're all high fives with Mountain Walk?
Yeah, we're all kings, right? It has to be, we have to call each other kings in an unironic, homoerotic love for each other. So we're now all kings. Oh.
We have to feel the lust.
Yes, absolutely. The goblin lust. Goblin war lust.
Yeah. Goblin lust, huh? All right, this podcast gets off to a great start.
Yeah, it works for me. I don't use sarcasm or irony, so it's...
okay, so since the last episode, where we were waxing poetic about some new cards called Goblin Crane Maker, I mean, what even is that? we've had a printing of a few new cards in Munitions Expert and Sling Gang Commander.
Sling Gang Lieutenant.
Oh, yeah. Right. It is Lieutenant.
Bali is Lieutenant, Sling Gang Lieutenant. 1-1. And we've also had Mons. I don't even know what the rest of the card's called.
Pashalik Mons.
Pashalik Mons, yeah. Which is a pretty cool throwback to Mons Johnson, the original Goblin guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a long throwback. That's about as long of a throwback as we can possibly do.
Yeah, like the guy from Alpha Testing who liked goblins and then kept playing goblins. He really is, all of us, a Mons Johnson.
And especially Mons is actually mentioned in Mons War Raiders flavor text.
Flavor text, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. I had no idea. Cool. So we thought we'd reconvene and talk about, well, because some of these cards are black. I mean, Munitions Expert's red black. Sling Gang is all black. How are we gonna build goblins now? So, I mean, let's talk about. Should we just jump straight into it? Straight into the new cards.
Yeah, why not?
All right. So
yeah, I think
number one,
we all played quite a bit with it, so. Yeah.
So we've got Munitions Expert now. It's red black. Has flash. It's a 1/1. When it enters the battlefield, it deals damage, being X, where X is the number of golems you control in place, either a creature or a planeswalker. Now, this is obviously, well, it's printed in Modern Horizons to sort of replace Gempalm Incinerator theoretically. The difference between this and Gempalm Incinerator, however, when it comes into play, it counts itself. So you can actually go turn one, Goblin Lucky, turn two, Munitions Expert, through a cavern, so it's just as uncounterable, and you can kill Deathrite Shaman and then get your Lucky in there.
Even better, yeah. You can file it in for killing stuff.
Yeah, you can turn three, it's goblins. You cast a vial on turn one, you did nothing else the rest until turn three. Matron, violin Munitions Expert, kill the thing.
Yeah.
Hey, this comes up a lot with goblins.
It does.
Yes.
It actually
you
does.
Really
yeah.
wanted, you really wanted to kill things on turn three, the turn you matroned for something.
Mm-hmm. I've used
it. And it's a body. And it's a body.
So yeah, there's
you get a body. You don't get a draw card, but you get a body, which is generally advantageous. I think it's a side grade to Gempalm.
Yeah.
But in an awkward mode where you run more munitions because you can tutor for the draw effect when you need it, but it's generally better to have a 1-1.
Yeah. So there are a few comparisons again with Gempalm because they're both instant speed, they both do damage to creatures, and they both 2 mana. But that's pretty much where it stops. Because
yeah, I've never cast a Gempalm off of Double Cavern without a Blood Moon. Well, cycle,
yes. This card is bizarre because it is both harder and easier to get into play than Gem Palm.
Yeah,
it's mostly easier because you never put Gem Palm into play.
Okay.
Well, kind of
put on the stack
when you really, really need to. Yeah.
So it's just this strange thing where I feel like it plays Munitions Expert shores up our weaknesses more than Gem Palm does, whereas Gem Palm kind of leans into what we're already good at, which is drawing cards, and Expert shores up our weakness of not getting on board quickly.
Yeah, I generally agree, which is why I said the split is higher on Munitions.
Right.
Gem Palm's still very good. I don't think you should go without one.
Yeah.
But no, now you can happily go at one instead of a bunch.
Right. Right now, we've tested, I think, pretty much every split, and we still not... we all have different opinions on it. So I'm on 4-1 Munition Expert Gem Palm. Eli is playing 2-2. And I think
I'm on 3 Munitions, fair. 1 Gem Palm.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm on 3 Munitions, 2 Gem Palm.
Yeah, so everyone's playing 3 different.
Yeah.
I feel like 2 Gem Palm is probably the right number to complement it, because they do just barely a different enough thing that when you tutor them, you want to tutor 2 times in a row.
Yeah, it's bizarre, and it's tough to evaluate because there are so many. You can think of like basically any number of situations where you might want one over the other, and so I really like the flexibility of having an even number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the deal with Munition as well, you kind of have to adapt your mana base a bit, because costing red black can be a bit hard turn 2. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that was another thing I wanted to talk about. What happens if you get, you know, normally Goblins is impervious to Blood Moon, but I was playing Legs the other week, and the guy next to me was playing Mono Red Prison. I thought, holy shit, we could not kill his Goblin Raven Master because he'd just turn on Blood Moon.
That's another reason to run Gem Palms,
Yeah, the Mono Red, Gem Palm is definitely going to be better against the Mono Red deck. Just because you get to...
Not to mention, a number of us are adopting a swamp. I've been trying it out, and I'm like 50-50. It hasn't hurt me yet, but I feel like it could.
It definitely hurts you. Oh my god. You're staring at your 2-lander hand of like a swamp and a wasteland, and you have a lackey in it, and you die a little bit.
Well, it follows that awkward formation where if you're trying to get red-black more commonly, then I guess Port gets a cut. And that's... Yeah. I don't like it, but I do it.
We'll come back to the whole mana issues soon. It's, yeah. But the thing is, Munitions Expert is not free. And it's very typical of Goblins, isn't it? Where it's like, it's not really an upgrade or a downgrade, it's just a lateral shift. We're just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're moving
spells, so Watsi can suck it.
Yeah.
The main upgrade is...
Multiple experts is hard.
Yeah. The main upside... is really the Planeswalkers thing. I think we can't underrate that, especially in a time where Ren and Six, Karn, Narset, Teferi are all very, well, mm-hmm. less so Teferi, but those other cards are all very popular still. And, you know, even Jace.
Is about as common as the others, to be honest.
Yeah. Liliana. You know, all these cards that have been very good against Goblins, specifically Liliana.
I have killed a number of Jaces where my opponent thought he was safe without haste because of Munitions Expert now. I'm very
excited. Yeah. They like Fate Seal you, and then you attack it for 2 and then cast a Munitions Expert. It's like,
Yeah, that feels very good.
Also, the Flash Body does matter. Like, even if the ETB isn't alone enough to kill something, you know, Flash in, deal 2 damage, block does handle a lot of things. Or, you know, say you're facing, you know, Rug Delver's getting more popular. Say they're attacking with a Nimble Mongoose or Tarmogoyf and a Delver. Flash an Expert, kill the Delver, block. You know, that's a lot more value than what a Gem Palm would provide.
And one day we'll live the dream and flash it in and block a Dark Confidant killing a Dark Confidant.
Ooh. Oh.
That sounds good. I look forward to it.
Someone likes their volume.
So
Jesus.
Let's move on to the next black card that's pushing
us
further.
Just one second. I just want to point out that there are flying sharks in the image, which is awesome.
There are flying sharks.
With harpoons. And all sorts of crazy shit.
What better way to get them in the air than Sling Gang, Sling Gang Lieutenant?
Ooh, good segue.
So Sling Gang Lieutenant, that card's real good, right, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think it's the best addition. I love Munition Expert, but Sling Gang is just more powerful, I think.
Yeah, I've noticed that like all the little things make me happy with Munitions Expert, but Sling Gang has actually been winning these games.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we could tell people what it does.
Yeah. Read it out.
All right. So Sling Gang Lieutenant. 3 and a black. Creature Goblin. When Sling Gang Lieutenant enters the battlefield, create 2/1/1 red Goblin creature tokens. Sacrifice. This is helpful because it means you have to get new tokens. Sacrifice a goblin, target player loses 1 life and you gain 1 life.
Yeah.
Now, when this first came out, pretty embarrassing because I was like ahead of the curve on Renin 6. I was like, man, this card's like insane. And everyone was like, eh. And now obviously it's insane. When I saw this card, I was fighting for Siege Gang Lieutenant's, Siege Gang Commander's life, saying, well, this doesn't even hit creatures. Now, so, impervious to the fact that we just picked up Munitions Expert, Crater Maker, Chain Whaler.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Go on.
You don't have to target your. Yes. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Go for it.
All right. Someone first.
Eli.
Okay. The thing about Sling Gang Lieutenant compared to Siege Gang Commander is that you no longer care about killing because it's destroy target player in a lot of cases. The free activation is absurd.
So, yeah, basically just being able to tap a vial or pay 4 mana and drop your opponent 7 life swing immediately just wins games immediately. Often you've gotten yourself into a big old game of jockeying where you're sitting there and you're just blocking all games, that's what goblins are good at, and then suddenly they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
It turns our kind of theoretical game plan of block them to death into a very, like, literal thing.
Yeah, we were very worried that, oh, it doesn't hit creatures.
So, admittedly, I was really cold on Sling Gang Lieutenant when he first came out, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that he was a 1-1. And come to find out, that just doesn't matter. I've sacked him basically every time I've cast him or the very next turn.
It doesn't matter at all.
It only matters if Plague Engineer is in play.
Yeah, but we'll come to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Munitions Expert. Wait, no.
Yeah.
Sling Gang, it just adds another layer to the deck where we basically... There are lots of games that we don't even have to attack to win the game.
Yeah, I'm finding that I fish him out not as often as Ringleader, not actually that as close as Ringleader, but like I am getting him a really high percentage of the time because he just stabilizes the board. It's like, I don't need cards. I can just wait now and win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there is that. And the other aspect that it, for some reason that I still don't know why you're throwing a gang a but yeah, you gain your life.
You're cutting out.
Yeah, said again.
Yeah, I just don't know why we gain a life, flavor-wise, with right. The card. Makes
well,
no
I don't
sense.
Know why, I don't know why a black goblin makes a red goblin, right? But sometimes it just be like that.
The reason we gain life is that we can be at 21 when we get hit by a merit lage.
Or we can go up to... I really like that we can now force storm, like, because Ant does not have infinite stuff, you know.
No,
they usually storm for 10 or 11. If you can get yourself to like 28, they're gonna have a hard time tendrilsing you. And if you go lackey into Sling Gang, cast a Mog War Marshal, have a lot of life to work.
Because like they still add nauseam, they still need their life, and you're really pressuring it. You're attacking them on 2 axes they can't really handle. It's even good against Grizzlebrand for the same reason.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, it makes Adnosium worse. It makes Grizzlebrand worse. You don't have to pay mana. It's the same clock as a Siege Gang if you're playing a turn driver, dropping a Sling Gang Lieutenant, which is amazing.
Right. So it's still a turn 3 kill.
Yeah. It makes racing against a Delver or True Name so much better because you just win that 1 or 2 life points. That means a whole turn of combat that you're gonna gain.
Yeah.
Against a True Name.
Yeah, the true name is much less of an issue. You're no longer dead to Lightning Bolt on top of your opponent's deck, and I just think that's so friggin' good.
All these things that used to be unblockable, you know, burn, reach, etc., we can just handle now, and that wasn't an option really before. It's like, oh no, I have to race. And this one's just like, oh, I can do both.
Yeah, and we can beat these things that we could never beat before. Glacial Chasm Lock and Energy Field are the two that come to mind for me.
It completely bypasses Glacial Chasm and Energy, which is amazing.
Eli and Moto, where they had like Mentor and a bunch of tokens, and you just violet in, block with everything, sack. You take, you know, take a bunch, but you'd also, they'd take four, three, you'd gain three. Then you'd Volrath Stronghold back on top of your deck, and you just do three times around until they die.
Yeah, we're both, it was game three against Miracles, and we were both on like 2 minutes or something. And I was just like, you know what? This is the game plan. They've cast a Monastery Mentor. I like Earbrick squatted their like back to basics or something, so I knew the Stronghold would never be offline. So it's just like, as long as they don't draw Disenchant, I can just do this forever and they're gonna die. And they told me at the end of the game, their hand was like Terminus Supreme Verdict.
Yeah. God, that is so funny. Yeah, and the fact that his ability doesn't cost anything, like you can always sacrifice himself in Plowshares, so it is always in your graveyard, or in supposed to Terminus. Right.
Yeah, right. It can't be a good goblin unless Linvala shuts it off, so I'm down.
And it still gives you the turn, it's not a clean 20 on turn 3 with like the nut draw of like Lackey into Siege getting to Pile Driver. But they only need to fetch once, which in Legacy is not very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're at one life, and they have to kill you from one life.
Other goblin turn free. Come on. Any other goblin turn free.
They'll be at two, and you have a Sling Gang out, right?
Yeah. A lot of matchups, putting your opponent to one is effectively killing them, because there are very, very few decks who can actually just, like, kill you from one life without having a prior board state. Like Storm needs life total to some extent, to a significant extent even. Like everybody
fetch lands.
Fetch lands. Everybody uses life to some extent, so one may as well be zero in the early stages of games a lot of time.
Yeah. And so, I play Fanatics.
I've had so many Fanatic lethals lately. It's great.
That's like my one criticism of life. Munitions expert is that they made the conscientious decision to allow it to hit planeswalkers but not players.
Yeah, the player is a planeswalker. What in the hell, lore?
It'd be kind of busted if it went face.
Yeah, just remember that at two mana they get Infernal Tutor.
Like, we're comparing this to stuff that's happening in Legacy, right? Is it even that busted?
Fair enough.
Or, like, it's a Modern Horizons card, and then there's Hogak on turn two. So,
fair.
Yeah.
This is, like, my constant running, like, annoyance with, like, oh, my God, Goblin Recruiter is so busted. Like, oh, my God, have you seen that card? You can, like, stack your deck. Like, oh, my God. Like, yeah, 3-mana show and tell, you fucking lose. Fuck you.
Are all show and tell players Valley Girls in your mind?
Yes. It's like,
have you been on your japes?
That's my impression of like Valley Apes. You know?
Valley
Apes. Oh my God. Like, bruh, have you seen the fucking Bruiser brand, bruh? It covers like the fucking best, bruh.
And these people are beating you every time you play them?
Yeah, like, I mean, I made top 8 of Australian Eternal Weekend. I lost to a guy who never played Legacy, never played Sneak and Show, and he before the tournament. Finished like 6th or 7th in the Swiss standings, and then beat me, a Legacy podcaster, having played for like 6 years while I'm playing Bug Delver with 4 main deck Thoughtseize.
Well, you know, it makes Brainstorm easy to play, and that means...
I mean, I'm not even mad, it's just impressive. It's impressive.
You're a little mad, don't lie.
What's more, I'm more upset about than anything, is that it will be remembered forever on the internet because there is recording of me losing. And I take off my glasses and put my hand in my face. Not because I lost, but because I failed to beat Show and Tell, which was the worry that I could win again. But everyone witnessed it as well. That was the main thing. It's like if you catch me in like a sexually lewd act, I don't necessarily mind, but if the whole world sees, I might. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's sort of deal. Anyway, no, I don't know. I don't know how it works with these, but yeah.
Wait, I have a question. Does this count as a Steve Rant that we have?
No, that's scheduled way down there. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
Okay, because there are 3 of them. Yeah.
Okay. This is bonus go off Steve. You know?
Bonus Steve Rant. Okay.
Yeah, this is just a regular Steve Rant. It's not a scheduled one.
right, let's move ahead to Pashlik Mons. I did actually... I pulled
one last thing for slinging. I wanted to talk about specifically... He's... Like, the goblins that are currently finishers are basically Krenko, Kikijiki, and Siege Gang. And I think he can just be added to the list of cards that you can run to end a game with.
I think it's better than Kiki and Siege Gang by like a decent margin.
I don't think he does what Siege Gang does. I think they're different types of abilities, but every time I've tutored him up, it's for the same general end game effect.
Mm-hmm.
They just do it in different ways.
I think the best part is that it's the free activation, and it's you don't have to move your bar up to 5.
Yes.
And you don't need what's the worst feeling with other than Siege Gang? Like, you're playing like a long grindy game and you top deck Siege Gang commander, but you've like have killed your Vile or whatever. So you tap out and you're like, I've got this because next turn I can attack everything and then just burn them before whatever they block, and then they just kill your Siege Gang commander. So yeah, you have technically, they have killed 1/2/2 and left you a bunch of 1/1s, but that's not really the point of Siege Gang commander, is it? Whereas with this, you can just, you don't have to move Vile up to 5. 4 mana is a lot less than that. And in that scenario, you can just at least burn them for 1 and gain 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to point out that I think Sling Gang Commander can just join the list of good finishers with relative ease.
I also
I think it tops the list, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it just... I'm not playing any Krenko in the main, at least. I know you are, Eli.
Yeah, I really like Krenko right now, weirdly enough.
He's pretty good with Sling Gang.
It's the fact that you can go from an empty Violin Krenko, untap, Violin Sling Gang, 8 you, drain you for 8, and that just ends a lot of games.
All right, so that's all I wanted to get at. We can move on now. My bad.
Let's go. So I want to... Pashlik Mons, from the flavor text of Mons Goblins Raider. Pashlik Mons and his raiders are the thunderhead that leads in the storm.
Well, yeah. Hang on, because Pashlik Mons' own flavor text is the thunderhead that leads in the storm.
That's the reference.
That's pretty cool. Well done, Wizards. I don't hate you for once.
Anyway, we'll probably describe
just a joke. I still hate you. Okay, Pashlik Mons, 2 and a red, legendary creature, goblin warrior. Whenever Pashlik Mons or another goblin you control dies, Pashlik Mons deals 1 damage to any target. It has the ability of 3 and a red, sacrifice a goblin, create 2 1/1 red goblin creature tokens.
Sure.
It's good. Sorry.
I think Marcelo should go first. He's had the highest opinion and probably has the most experience with.
Sure.
Yeah, well, the deal is, people have. This has been much more volatile than the other two cards, because we both really like Mission Expert and Sling Gang, but lots of people don't like Mons. And I think it's just because he is misinterpreted as a creature. So because of the passive ability, lots of people compare him to Sharpshooter. And it kind of does the same thing a lot of the time. But I think Pashlik Mons can do just so much more. And the activated ability counts towards him a lot as well. So yeah, the best part of it, so we can jump to the part with Slinging Lieutenant, that it's an insane synergy with the two cards.
So yeah, push ourselves towards Aristocrats.
Yeah, turn 3 Pashlik Mons and turn 4 Slinging Lieutenant is 7 life drain.
And if you cast a Mogwai Marshal in between there.
Yeah, and you can just like ping stuff, which is great. Pashlik Mons also makes other creatures like a Mog Fanatic or Scarecrow Spectre much better.
Crater Maker,
it turns into an Arc Trail, which is great. It turns Echo slightly more favorable. So I had a few games already that you Violin Mogwai Marshal and then turn 4, the Echo goes into the stack, you put the Vial on top of that, your Vial in Pashlik deals 1 damage to something when the Mogwai Marshal dies.
Much debate that we're pretty much all going to be on 3 Mogwai Marshals here, because of the way it's going together.
Yeah,
at least.
Basically all the new cards encourage you to play Mogwai Marshal.
Yes, they do. Mogul Marshall.
I feel like the format should encourage you to play Mogul Marshall anyway.
Like largely,
what,
yes.
What Aven is blocking, and what Aven is synergy with the other things in your deck, and what Aven is a two mana goblin.
Yeah. But yeah. My last point just.
That's with, not a rant, by the way, Marcel. That's not a rant.
not counting on the steeper voice. I think people just expect Pashalik to win the game, just like Slinging is winning a lot of games. And I think it's just different. It's just another glue to it. No, it's different.
Yeah, I think Pashalik's hard to evaluate because it doesn't have as clear a role as a lot of other like one-ofs that we play. Because it kind of does multiple things, but in kind of a slightly inefficient way. But sometimes it's super efficient. If you like Skirk Prospector with this guy is really, really good because you can just cast more goblins as you machine gun their board.
Yeah, you build yourself a sling gang.
Yeah.
But with deck synergy instead of just four mana.
Right. It plays really well with mana echoes.
Well, yes. I've done that and I really approve that.
Oh my god. Anyway, mana echoes aside, it's hard to like see what slot he actually fits into because he's like weirdly lord-like in his effect on gameplay, but he's got this kind of sharpshooter-esque ability. But he's also this grind card where, you know, if your games go really long and you have him and another creature, then eventually you'll just make tons of dudes and deal one every time because you'll just keep activating the ability over and over again. So he does add inevitability to the deck, which is really nice. His floor is rather low. If he gets plowed immediately, that's bad. A little awkward against a Caracas.
Super awkward against that.
A lot awkward.
So yeah, against Def and Texas, it's really awkward because I like him, but it's just like they're playing for because.
Yeah, we'll just chain roll with them and they'll lose. It's what I've been doing.
I mean, I saw somebody posted in the Discord today of like them playing against Bahra Markon, and they had some like absurd Pashalik chain to machine gun his entire board, like kill two Mother of Runes and a Revoker on Vial and.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Revoker doesn't shut that off; it shuts off his ability to make and not his ability to kill things.
Yeah, non-revocable ping is pretty strong.
Yeah, I didn't realize that as well. Yeah, cool. See, more points to Moans.
Another thing to think about. You can kill people with their own Annihilator triggers if they attack you with...
That is true. Yeah, I was talking to you guys before. Keeping Violet your head is a lot of value against a lot of things because it makes some cards like Toxic Deluge in a board if I have five goblins. It's just like,
Yeah, force them to send a removal spell and
touch damage.
or also the thing that has come up, you can cast your own things in the Plague Engineer to kill the Plague Engineer, which is pretty strong. You can cast, as you said, Vile in response to Deluge or Supreme Verdict. Really strong. He makes blocking really, really horribly awkward.
Blocking is so awkward,
For the opponent.
Yeah, us it's lovely.
I'm still going to push back on this fucking orgy of love for Mons, because I just don't think they can. It does a lot of things, but not that well, and it's not quite Sharpshooter, it's not quite Chain Dweller, it's not, like... I was actually on the train of, well, this card actually has a very high ceiling. The problem is all of our cards have these incredibly high ceilings, and a lot of the time you're just forced into these good fights, where you have to just kill them, and this card doesn't really help in building your board or killing them, and it doesn't help you stabilize the board unless you have, like, a lot of mana, at which point you usually win anyway. And that's, like, my experience of, like, just playing it online has been, like, this card's kind of meh.
So that's my worry with him. I'm pretty cold on him right now. I admit that there's a number of things that he's capable of, but I feel like he is a Swiss Army knife instead of a tool in my Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, I want a bayonet. I don't want a Swiss Army. Swiss Army knife's too new.
So I was cold on Pashalik after my initial tests with him. But then in the lackey list build that I tried that Marcelo came up with, where
your name's Goblin Lackey.
Yeah. He was playing three Pashalix, and I played two Sleng Gangs. He was playing three. I wanted the extra ringleader. But that when that synergy came together, it really showed me how strong Pashalix can be. And I think he's like kind of like this build around creature, and that you try to engineer board states to make him powerful, and he will be powerful. So it kind of depends how much you want to put into that axis, I guess.
Yeah, I think it would be better in, I mean, we'll get to modern sort of in a bit, but I think it would be better in, say, modern, especially in my list with four Mob Fanatic, three Crater Maker, and then the Sling Gang. So you have all these, and plus four War Marshal to do its own thing. I guess the problem is that it's better in that list. Is it better in that meta? I don't know. I don't know anything about modern, except that I'm currently undefeated with goblins. I'm going to say that twice, don't worry. So that's like, is the legacy meta now favored for Pashalik Mons? I don't know. My local meta is certainly not.
Sure.
But it will depend on, I guess.
Yeah,
main strengths. Like that, I think that's what are the matchups that you guys have been finding Pashalik Mons to be really good in?
Oh, that is hard. I just really like him because of his synergy with the deck. So that question makes it really hard for me to answer.
It's kind of like trying to answer like what matchup is Mock War Marshal best in, because he's similar in that he's a kind of piece of glue.
Yeah, or Goblin War Chief. It's like, it's just a card that's good in the deck because it synergizes with the rest.
Okay, well, that's for good. As opposed to Chainmail, which is good in, say, you know, the fair creature matchups and Empty the Warren matchups, but he's terrible against, you know, Snake and Show or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of our deck
something
is
like that.
Yeah, right. I think Pashalik does shine in certain matchups for sure. Stuff like Infect Elves, probably pretty good against Dredge. He definitely makes it easier to, to kill larger toughness creatures. I think he's pretty good against Delver.
I'm not sold, I guess, is where I'm at.
Yeah, I don't think no one is sold yet.
He's all over the place, and like, if the meta got super, super, super fair, I'm in.
I think the meta is super, super fair right now.
No, I use super three times.
Yeah, I'm like every day. Every time I sleeve up like a legacy deck to go play legacy, I always think, will it finally be that really awesome era of 2012? It was just Stoneblade versus Maverick all day.
Stoneblade, Maverick, some Bug Delvers stealing their way to a win. But
Bug
Delver
was sick. But I mean, that's the super, super fair meta where I feel like Mons would be really good in.
Yeah, I agree that he'd be incredible if you knew for a fact that what you were running into was fair. And then I also agree that he takes more deck building restraints than most of the other cards that we've been running into here.
That said, he's quite easy to cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't say that as well. Yeah, two colorless and one red makes so much easier than Lords in the world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially now that we're, I mean, I suppose, but now's not a bad time to talk about like the mana base building. I mean, for the longest time, if you weren't playing, you would usually play, I don't know, one or two dual lands, depending on whatever color you were playing. So, I mean, it was usually, for a while, it was whether you played green for fucking Hooligan. I mean, it's hilarious in hindsight now to think that we would splash green for literally Shatter. And then after Crater Maker, then it was like the old bogeys like me who were like, no, Jim Davis is right. We play Plato and Thalia.
Man, I ran three tin streets.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, I wasn't going to play fucking Tuk-Tuk Scrapper. I wasn't playing. I mean, that annoyed me no end. Four mana got you Jace the Mind Sculptor, but it also got you Tin Street Hall Tuk-Tuk Scrapper. Ooh, Shatter an artifact, deal 1 damage to a player with 4 mana. Don't mind if I do.
Broken.
Yeah. The only place I ever ran Scepter was with a Kiki Jiki and a Word Instigator list, and still.
Yeah, if you Kiki Jiki is Tuckto Scrapper, it's shatter 2 things, deal 4.
You're right. It's insane. Broken.
Absolutely incredible.
Ban it, you know. Busted.
Yeah.
That's not better than that.
You could like a Kiki Jiki Restoration Angel, but no. We're just blowing up artifacts and getting some good value.
Anyway, we can probably
So you would play like the Black Splash for either Ewing Squad or Warren Weedings, or just discard, because there weren't really many other goblins that you would play. And even like Warren Weedings hasn't been good for a while, especially since Young Pyromancer was a thing. And before Young Pyromancer, it was Lingering Souls. So I don't know. That seemed like sort of a bad card. And then, I mean, like, there was really no other splashes, was there? Like, Marcelo once played the blue splash, and that was pretty funny. He was like, standstill.
Every splash possible, and pretty much every card that I could think of.
Turn one lucky, Dazer Lightning Bolt, getcha.
Oh, insane, yes. Unbeatable.
It's true. Who needs your lands if Lackey's going to hit?
Yeah, and then they daze your days.
So we would play 23 lands, 4 ports, 4 wastelands, you know, 6 to 7 fetches, 1 to 2
jewels,
4 to 5 basics, or 3 to 4 basics, and 4 caverns.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're priced into these heavier black cards. Our removal, I mean, so what that meant was that your splash cards were usually sideboard cards, so you could fetch all basics against, say, Rug Delver, which was really trying to attack your mana base as its primary mode to beating you. And you would be okay. If you got your 4 basics out against Rug, you could basically got win from there, assuming that they didn't run over you before you got to that point. But now, if your removal is red-black, well, what do you think their wastelands are going to be pointed at first thing?
Right.
My wastelands or caverns, yeah.
Yes. So they're going to be trying to cut you a few mana that way. So now you have to be really careful about fetching. So now do we start playing basic swamp? I mean, I think we sort of have to, right?
I keep going back and forth on it.
I keep flipping.
Because when it's bad, it is really, really bad. But at the same time, having unwastable black is really important against a lot of these decks that want to recur wasteland now.
Also, I don't want to lose the Blood Moon. I'm a red deck.
Yeah. Right.
Your Blood Moon. That's the whole point of Blood Moon is that the Blood Moon decks aren't good because they can turn 3 Blood Moon. They're good because they can turn 1 Blood Moon. So you very rarely have the time to just be like, oh, I'll just nicely fetch and get my basic swamp and then I'll be good from there.
I was being facetious anyway. But...
No, but I mean, like, that's the whole point of, like, even if you do play a basic swamp in your deck, they might, and what if they don't know that you're on goblins? And, or what if they know that you're on goblins and they now know that they can just turn 1 moon, turn 2, one of the 8 goblin rebel masters?
I'm still not scared of red prison. I'm still not scared of red prison at all.
We'll be fine.
I've won a match against red prison where I matroned for Sling Gang when there was a Blood Moon play and I just, like, forgot. And I still won the game because that matchup is crisply lopsided.
So lopsided, yeah.
Similar, I mean, Slinging's so good though. I tutored him when I'm unable to get him into play anyway because it would be so good if I could top deck and I would just win. So that might be.
Yeah. Dude, the basic swamp, it is really good in some situations. For me, it's Maverick, Death in Texas, Lens. Because you want to cast your Eerie Squad or you want to cast your Slinging and you don't want to be wastelanded. And mostly against all the diverse strategies where you just want to cast your
Munition Experts and whatnot. One of the reasons that we're thinking about the Swamp is, well, Loam, Wasteland, and Renin 6. If we're going to talk about mana, that has to be brought up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I want to bring up something real quick. The problem that Basic Swamp introduces is I think we're going to have to decide between Chain Whirler or Basic Swamp. I'm not certain. I do not believe we can realistically play both in the same deck unless we cut all the Rashadan ports.
Yeah. So if we've been playing 8 color sources and really 7, I think to accommodate chain will, a lot of us have went down from 4-4 port wasteland to 4 wasteland to 3 port, sometimes 2, because then we played well with Stronghold. I think 8 was really pushing the deck anyway without triple red requirements.
Yeah.
Like, 8 color sources was really a bit too much. And now, with Violet Stronghold, which is just insane tech, and you're already in red-black, you should play it anyway.
Yeah.
So, I think that the math changes a bit, because my math was 16 red sources is good enough for... Now, with the basic swamp, even if you have 16 red sources, that Bloodstained Mire sometimes is not a red source. Because sometimes you're going to fetch that basic swamp, and that changes the math completely. Makes the things a bit more awkward.
If you have to get that swamp early, you are not putting that Chamberlain in play without a lackey or a file.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's something I run into when I was running it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The upside
Which is
of Chamberlain,
really unfortunate.
The upside of Chamberlain is good, though. So.
Yeah, I still think it's a main deck card. Like, Eli was it a bit while
Sorry,
ago.
Sorry, because... you cut out, Marcel. Just say it again. No,
you were saying that Chainwheeler got a bit worse with the new meta, which I agree. Uh-huh. But I think that where it's good, it's just too good not to have it main deck.
Yeah.
So I still a bit undecided of what to do with it plus the mana base.
Yeah, I've been experimenting back and forth with Basic Swamp plus Caracas going with two ports. And I can't decide what I like more. I did back-to-back lead and I 4-1'd both of them. So I guess that's good, but it also doesn't inform me anymore.
Yeah, so that's something we could probably go over. I hate to say, but port is worse right now. Or at least I believe it is, because otherwise we'd be running more, despite the good cards. We've done it in the past when our mana base doesn't quite work. We just end up running the port because it's so powerful anyway. And that saddens me.
I just think port is sort of outlived. It's no longer actually meaningful disruption. Like, 90% of the time. Like, the times when they're on one land and they just start discarding because you're putting them down, great. I feel like those games are few and far between, but we still cling on to port because it could do that. Because you've got to remember, when like Goblins was the best deck in the format because it had the best disruption, it was because everyone else's spells cost 2 and 3.
And one of the best one drops at the time, yeah. Two of the best, I want to argue it.
And that a bit pairs with that, because before, or two drops sucked. And now
port has been a two drop for a long time.
Yeah. Exactly. So now we have good two drops.
Yeah, we create a picker. We want to run more Mogwar Marshal. All fun stuff.
Yeah.
So want to sell 4 foil Makati Mask ports? Hit me up.
Nah. I don't know. I want to say some things for port still, because it does still help us a lot in combo matchups. Buying time for that Ubrick squad, you know, to run Lackey against Storm and Port Matron squad, like that's a pretty good sequence that they need a relatively strong draw to kill you before, you know, they get to that or before you get to the turn 3 squad, or even I mean I've turned 2 squad at people, but that's besides the point. The caverns, like I don't see any other cuts besides ports, unfortunately.
Because like you've been having a lot of success with Volrath Stronghold, I found it pretty good as well.
Yeah.
I think we're all sold on Stronghold.
Yeah, at this point, yeah, the card's just so good in the shell.
I could put it in or out depending on what I think I'm going to encounter, but I think it's a good card.
Yes.
Well, think about Goblins, say, 5 years ago when there was zero sacrifice effects and it was all ETB triggers. Now that like the majority of the deck is sacrifice, well, not majority of the deck, but you have a lot more cards like Trashmaster,
like
you can sacrifice anything, and Plough is... I mean, it's very highly played right at the minute, but when you have, Dreadhorde Arcanist decks, and they're just like, that pairs so well with Bolt. Bolt starts to increase, and Bolt's such a good answer to Arcane, so a lot of people are playing Bolt, and then Ren 6 makes Rugdelver really good, so their removals also destroy things. And then you have, so now we've got Prospector, Cratermaker, Trashmaster, in addition to our very, and Sling Gang. We're very happy to be blocking, putting things in the bin, preferably the being instead of being exiled or being put on the bottom of your deck sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention Kyrugin. Yep. Kyrugin. Yeah, hard to say.
Dr. Goblin.
He's just Duck. He's just Duck Gob.
Yeah.
We should probably mention who Duck Gob is.
You mean Goblin Churgin, you fucking Philistines. Learn to read, you fucking dumb Americans.
We looked up a pronunciation guide and apparently the K is like a like chitin, but
Kai.
Like Kyrugin.
It's Greek.
I'm just
like a Kai.
I'm just a dumb Aussie. Yeah.
So let's just put that with the last of our new cards.
A Fallen Empire's Column.
But yeah, it's insane. So Goblin Coercion is a one red, 0/2, which is amazing. Sacrifice a goblin, regenerate target creatures.
So this guy came in as tech for both Dreadhorde Arcanist and Renin 6. That should be the reason he's being mentioned here.
Basically, yeah. But also just any deck you want to block a lot against, he makes double blocking the easiest thing in the world, because you only lose one creature per turn on the double block.
Yep. Block, sacrifice one of them to save the other one.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's just pretty good when you want things to stick around. So like what I was describing to the more accurately we were discussing earlier, he's kind of like a war chief for Krenko, because Krenko won't die.
Yeah. He'll make sure that Krenko gets to untap, is the point.
Yeah.
And if Krenko taps, he might as well have been a war chief.
Right.
I love that it's a very old card and we still use regenerate, because nowadays things don't bury things anymore. You get like abrupt decay, you can regenerate. You get fatal push, you can regenerate. You know, so it's just so good against so much of the most played cards in the meta that it's silly to be honest.
Yeah, it's really weird how good it is in a lot of games. Like obviously it's dead against combo, but that's fine. It's pretty bad against miracles. But even a lot of the plow decks, like, you can use it to nullify
You can throw your guys in the yard for Volgrath Stronghold, too.
You can throw your guys in the yard for Stronghold. You can
Get around... sacrifice creatures for Pashalik Mons.
Pashalik, get through GK. Like, all these situations, like...
Yeah, he's like half the upside of Skirk Prospector with a different other piece at the tail end.
Right. Right. I just want to check the verdict. I just want to check Supreme Verdict. Does Supreme Verdict say can't be regenerated?
No, it doesn't.
All right. So it turns off half. It basically half verdict.
Yeah.
It's why would Symbiote for goblins? It's just hard.
Also, it's got like 3.5 great arts. And that's.
It does. Yes, you can get the Phil Foglio where I believe. He's sewing Llanowar War Elves' head onto another creature. That's how I interpret that art.
Is that the one with the barrel of leads in the background? Yeah.
I don't even know what's happening in the background.
I'm pretty sure the word itself means brain surgery, which helps that joke in and of itself, because the art of the one I was looking at just a little bit ago is he's chopping off somebody's leg.
Oh yeah.
But that card. Said, he is specifically this particular meta. I wouldn't be too surprised if he slipped back out at some point.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it really meta dependent.
Like, yeah,
it's a lot of miracles for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of decks that just want to kill shit.
Right. You're right.
And that's
you're right.
A lot of decks are just very happy to kill everything all day, every day. I mean, now Rugdale have infinite. Fork bolts, basically.
Yeah.
In Renin 6.
It doesn't die to a fork bolt. It doesn't even die to deal one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
Bastards, one of the 0/2. Above the
this card out of a new set. Kyrugin. Kyrugin. I don't know. Whatever it's pronounced.
Yeah. Dotgob.
Dotgob, yeah. Let's stick with that, because we're all dumb idiots.
Pretty much.
Always, constantly, whatever. Every time I play that card, it's just like it's just does nothing for me. It's a 1-mana 1/3 that attacks for one. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. But
have you tried attacking with it with something in the yard?
No, because I always play 2 on Delver, and then
Well, then you turn one Delver, turn two Arcanist, turn three, ponder,
attack,
bolt you again.
I don't know. Like, my one experience was playing it against Eli Hesketh, which is still a matchup, and I was like, this card sucks. It doesn't do anything.
Well, that was because I was very specifically like, how do I construct my deck to beat Dreadhorde Arcanist Delver? Yeah. And I was successful, but that doesn't mean the card sucks. I think the card is obviously dominating the format.
Yeah, we should probably
know. So
Dreadhorde Arcanist is a one in a red, 1/3 who has one of her attacks. Cast a CMC less than or equal to his power from your graveyard, which means it happens before you even hit. It's just an attack trigger.
And it tramples as well for some reason.
Oh, yeah, tramples.
Attack, tramples, recast the trigger, and then all of a sudden go mags. But it still only attacks for one. And the way you beat combo decks is by attacking them for more than, say, one while adding disruption.
Yeah, it forces you to leave in bolts against combo, which is, well, more than the normal number of bolts, rather, because you kind of leave in two every now and then.
Well, for Blue-Red Delver, it's true, but against with Grixis Delver, they're flashing back Thoughtseize, and that seems real damn good against
and surgicals,
yeah.
Yeah, that
also,
that was what we
like all the decks with next surgical.
But yeah, but we don't care about that. Like, why is the card good against us?
Because it's a 1/3.
Because
I mean, yeah, three toughness is like the new two toughness for Goblin.
This is the new.
You're just right.
Just as we get like a million ways to deal two damage, now we have to deal three damage.
Yeah, yeah. Back to lightning bolts.
Wait, you can't even play this shitty goblin card in a tar fire to deal with it.
Nope.
No.
Okay. What I think about Dreadhorde is that it just made blue red so much more difficult, because before they did not have any single card that provided them a card advantage. They start playing with a light up the stage, which is a bit awkward most of the time. But now they have, yeah. But now they have Dreadhorde, and if it's cost turn two, we are in a sketchy situation to kill it. We don't have many ways of doing so.
I feel
so
like
it can add value.
I feel like we're maybe side grade, perhaps even better off against Anarchist than we were against the Terramander meta, because the Terramander meta was 100% unblockable decks.
But Terramander just sucks.
Yeah.
I think it's so bad.
The win rate against the Terramander Blue Red Delver was directly correlated to how many chain roll.
Yeah.
Oh, and it makes their deck like, oh my god, they just play like a Terramander and a Delver and another creature, and it's just like, park
these.
But
nobody can run
so
Terramander
good
anymore, because one, it fights Dreadhorde Arcanist, and two, it's bad against Renin 6.
And three, right, it's just a shit card anyway.
I think, yeah, so what Marcelo said about the card advantage is really true. I've had games against Blue Red Delver that have gone to like turn 20, and it's been reasonably close on either side. And I've both won and lost those games. That deck can actually grind now, which is very strange. It's not something you're used to fighting, but if they draw multiple Dreadhorde and can just, it's like they fully embrace the idea of Xerox, of just cycling through their deck with cantrips upon cantrips upon cantrips. And since they're cycling out of their yard, they're gaining card advantage. And they'll eventually find lightning bolts, which will just bolt you forever.
They run seven to begin with, as if they needed to.
Yeah, so it's definitely a snowball creature that if you don't answer it quickly, you will likely lose. Like, some people call it a two mana Jace. I've called it a two mana Jace because sometimes it really feels like that, because it casts Brainstorm every turn, but it also casts lightning bolt if it has to.
Yeah.
So it's hard to get in the way of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, more Mogwar Marshals and Munitions Expert are good in that type of thing, but it being on the draw matters more than it did before, which is always worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you have to create a board and just... I've been killing it online by just blocking it with 5-1.
So, as I keep saying, the answer to Ren and 6 and Dreadhorde Anarchist is to run Mudbutt and Torchrunner. Clearly.
No. Stop.
But it kills them, and it's exactly the rate we want in our goblins, a 3-mana 1/1. What could be so bad?
Yeah, 3-0 on all some of them. Broken goblins.
Oh my god. Other walkers got made too. There's like Karn, Narset, and Teferi, but mostly the first two.
Yeah, War of the Spark kind of sucks for eternal formats. We've been talking about this before the cast. A lot of us really fucking hate Planeswalker. Like, I just feel like they're an abomination.
They should draw cards in the fashioned way and not get it for free by pressing the button that's in play.
Yeah, I think people think I hate Planeswalkers because goblins can't play Planeswalkers. This is not true. I've played other decks, believe it or not, and I still hate Planeswalkers. Even if they're in my deck, I just feel gross about it.
And we have condition experts.
Tick up. Oh, tick down. Oh, tick up. Draw a card. Tick up. I'm not playing a spell because you have to deal
not
with this
first.
Not to
mention the abomination that is superfriends.deck.
I'm going to have 3 different Lilianas in play.
A good rules change. Excellent point. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Because Liliana the Veil and Liliana Last Hope really needed to be on board at the same time. Just really fair effects for 3 mana.
I've had some great.
The problem is that you get 10 of them.
And now even Diabolic Edict got a better.
Kill your thing. It's just.
So we might be curmudgeon-y old men, but Planeswalkers.
I'm a curmudgeonly young man. Thank you very much.
Okay, sure. How about mentally? I'm calling you wise. That's how I'm gonna justify.
Okay.
But
ranting about all the new Planeswalkers as well. Just talk about one new card as well from Modern Horizons.
Sure.
Should have put in the list, which is Plague Engineer.
Yeah, I forgot to write that down.
Yeah. Because the card is insane. It's so much more than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of main deck play.
Which is really unfortunate for us.
Engineered Plague for us, so that can be said.
Yeah, it's weird. I can't decide if I like or hate it because it's like, it's better. It sucks that it sees more play than Engineered Plague has seen in years. But it's a lot easier to deal with, so it's kind of hard to say.
And we can play it as well.
And we can play it as well, and it's pretty damn good in our sideboards.
It joins the ranks of the other 4 carriers in the game as creature type carrier. Phyrexian Plaguelord, good old The Rock's original piece there.
Yeah.
Plague Engineer. 2 colorless and a black, 2/2.
Death Touch.
Comes into play. Yeah, Death Touch, which is really, really relevant, which is insane. Comes into play, choose a creature type. Creature type of your opponent controls get -1/-1.
Yeah, we don't get Shroud, we get Hexproof. We don't draw, we get you don't draw.
I just realized what this card is. The reason why it's seen main deck play is basically just a really souped up Baleful Strix.
Yep. Instead of going up a card, your opponent goes down 1 or 2.
Exactly. And it has Death Touch, so it'll always trade favorably on board. This card's annoying for us, but I've also beaten it quite a number of times. It's not the end-all be-all, and it's nice that we now have a very handy-dandy to both Dreadhoard Arcanist and basically any tribal deck. True Nemesis.
Yeah, I'd go so far as to say that if Plague Engineer is seeing play, that's good news for us, because that means the format's pretty fair. It's not super, super fair, but...
Well, I mean, the good news is that it's really easy to combat the sort of the hyper-Xerox meta with, you know, cards like Charles of the Void. If everything is one mana, because you want to maximize Dreadhorde Arcanist, you just play Charles in 1.
Yeah, I think I am historically not a super big fan of Chalice in our deck, but I think right now Chalice is very good because it just bricks what so many people are doing.
I generally believe that how good Chalice is a direct correlation to how healthy the format's moving towards, but I agree, Chalice is great right now.
Going back to Plague Engineer, like what I like is that it solves some of the problems that maybe we don't have anymore sometimes because of Slinging Lieutenant that don't have to attack through a true name. But yeah, it kills true name nemesis. It nullifies Arcanist because it turns into a 0/1 and it cannot flashback anything.
I don't think it was explicitly said, but he's implying running it as a sideboard card.
Yeah. Running Plague Engineer. I'm running two in my and I love it. It kills like a Gormar Gangler. You just vial it in, and it kills any Eldrazi that is attacking you. It's insane. You can even cast in a mirror, and your goblins stay alive. Which is silly.
I have a very, very funny story about Plague. I was playing against the like World Gorger combo deck that's like also basically just bug control that has a weird combo element. And they are playing a bunch of Animate Deads. And my opponent has a Liliana Last Hope and they cast Animate Dead on my Chain Whirler in my graveyard. Kill a bunch of my stuff. I draw Plague Engineer and this allows me to name Goblin. The first time I cast this card, I named Goblin and shrink the Chain Whirler down to a 2/2 first striker, which I forget what I had.
Probably
no, it was an Animate Dead.
It was a 1/2.
Yeah,
it was a 1/2, so I could attack with my Ringleader and Pashlik, I believe, to kill Liliana. And it was just like the most goofy experience with the card. I never expected to be like, oh yeah, I'm playing this to name Goblin to kill the creature that my opponent stole with an Animate Dead.
I like that.
Yeah.
So silly, yeah. But yeah, the card is just good. Because so many matchups, Maverick, Death,
and Texas. There's something else about it that's pretty nifty. If you name Vampire, and your opponent does not have a Vampire Hexmage in play, they can no longer Dark Depths kill you because the Hexmage will die before it can activate.
From state to state.
Yeah. So that is pretty relevant against that particular deck, which we would certainly appreciate the points in.
Mm-hmm. At 3 mana, which is a bummer, but I agree.
Yeah.
So, what do you think?
You can name Rogue, I think, and that gets Trino Nemesis and Bitter Blossom tokens.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't realize the tokens were rogues.
Yeah, yep. So you can do with they're like corner case interactions. You can actually nuke basically half the deck.
What do you guys think of bringing in this card? I've been disagreeing with some people on this. What do you guys think of bringing this card in against Miracles to Hose Monastery Mentor?
I think it's wrong.
I think it's wrong as well.
All right, well,
it's like people who brought in Pyrokinesis to beat Mentors, just beating them. That's very much indicative of playing to not lose rather than playing to win.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was easy.
Yep.
Yeah.
wait, hold on. Did we all just agree on something?
Can someone dissent for the love of God? I don't like that.
Goblins players agreed on things.
We weren't talking about a goblin. We were talking about
Right.
So, I mean, otherwise, like, Khan, Narset, and Teferi are ruining other people's days. For us,
Narset sucks against us.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Karn's obnoxious because it turns off Aether Vial, but it also does.
The only place I'm truly scared of Karn is Shortcake.
Sure.
It's really good in that deck, and then after that, it's just a good grind card, and we're good at grinding.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely sucks when you get, like, it's scary when you're on the draw, because if you go turn one Vial, Ancient Tomb, City, Karn, get Grab Lattice, you are in very bad shape.
Let's be honest, the reason they're ahead there is because of the fast mana, not Karn.
Yeah, but it makes it hard. The fact that it slams the door shut very, very quickly makes it hard to fight.
Fair. I mean, that's like another sort of deck that we would have been much stronger against a couple months back when we had the full place at Port Wasteland.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the ebb and flow of it all. But
I don't completely agree with that because we still play the Wastelands, but now we also have Munition Expert. And Munition Expert is quite good against Planeswalkers.
If you let them execute their game plan, like, they still have a high chance of winning as compared to, oh fuck, I can't do anything while you rule my mana and Vial or Lackey does the work. Because they can never really block Lackey outside of Ballista. So they're on basically one card to not lose while you've got the rest of your deck working together.
Yeah, all the Stompy decks are very weak to Termite Lackey in general.
Which is great, because people should be.
Right.
Yeah, but so some of the more lopsided games are against them. But that's like, I'm not saying we're bad against them, I'm just saying we are worse against them. But that's like an acceptable trade-off.
Right.
Yeah, maybe it could be a bit worse, but yeah. Okay.
I would want ports against those types of decks personally.
For sure.
I agree with Steve.
Yeah. But yeah, cards still positive. Looking at some streams online and just attacks it. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, one damage. Just leave the Narset alive. It's not going to do anything, ever.
Yeah, the only time it comes up is if they Vendilion click you. That's annoying.
Yeah, or if you need to jump on your team.
Yeah.
But I think the one damage matters more.
In the vast majority of cases, average. Yeah.
So, just leave. Well, just fetch us two cards, and you know what they are, so you can play around.
And usually one, sometimes. To be honest.
Yeah, so I added Teferi to this list. I don't think it's that relevant. It was just the next most seeing play one, and I figured I'd put it down.
I don't know, man. I've lost that because they cast back to basics and bounce with fucking Vile.
Yeah, I'm much more afraid of Teferi than Narset. No, not just because the bounce effect is actually quite good because it bounces Vile and sometimes that area. But the plus one is actually quite good as well when they can ponder into Terminus in your turn.
Yeah, ponder on Terminus in your turn.
That's so stupid.
That's basically the only thing I've been scared of from that specific Teferi. After that, I've kind of just tinked it after he was forced to -3 it because he's always forced to -3 it. Or she.
Yeah.
This is Teferi Time Rattler, right? So it's one blue white, so it's 3 mana total. Each opponent can cast spells only any time they can cast a sorcery. That's the static ability. I'd love a rant on that. Stop with the one sided thing. Plus one, until your next turn, you may cast sorcery spells as they add flash. -3, return up to one target artifact, creature, or enchantment to its own hand, draw a card. So, unfortunately, they're never bouncing Matron the Ringleader. They're doing other less fun things.
They could, though. Yeah. I could see a scenario. I've had my opponents with Jace bounce my matrons before.
That did is desperation.
Yeah, that. Right there.
No, the fairy is just not really good against us the vast majority of the time.
Right.
Yeah, I personally fear the quote-unquote fear the -2 from Narset being card advantage more.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Renan 6.
Sorry.
Did we talk about Renan 6?
I mean, sort of the entire time.
Yeah.
Did we ever describe what he did? He and she, I don't actually know.
It's the tree.
They?
It's a big tree.
They is a dude.
Yeah, they. Yeah, sure. it is two people. Well, a person in a tree.
See?
Renan 6. I'll pull up the text on that.
It does everything. Plus one, get a land up. It starts 3. Plus one, get a land back from your graveyard to your hand. -1 damage to any target. And the ultimate is like -7. All your instant sorceries in the bin get retraced. Whatever the thing is.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
No, but that it doesn't exile the card, so you can permanently. You just cast
it. It does matter because it means you can't ever fully
ignore it.
Like you can't just leave it be and be fine with them getting a land back or pinging every turn. Like, because there are some board states where you can do that, but because the ultimate does truly have a threatening factor, you can't just completely bypass it.
No.
So the analogy that I've heard people make, and I generally agree with, is that Renan 6 is, just a 2-mana death rite, but still about as good. Much worse at 2-mana, though.
Worse at 2-mana, but also much harder to kill. In some ways, it's hard to kill with removal. It's obviously easy to attack.
Doesn't die to Lightning Bolt, though.
But no. Does not die to Lightning Bolt or play out. And it actually creates like a board advantage where it picks up a land as opposed to Death Rock, which just makes a mana, which is relevant.
Yeah, and card advantage as well, which is very annoying.
Yeah, but, makes your brainstorms better.
The reason it's referenced Death Rite is because it makes Wasteland look bad.
Yes.
Unless you're the guy who ran six, in which case Wasteland comes sick.
Unless it's your Wasteland that you're running six.
And you now have main deck ways to just beat the fuck out of Baleful Streaks if you go make Angler Tongue Boy deck. It's so good.
So this guy is pretty good in a couple decks. Lands.
I've heard the lands community is undecided on Ren actually because it is quite hard to cast for them. And they do already have like a million. Like it does things that they are already very good at doing.
So it's their Pashalik Mons.
But it is very good in. I've heard it's really good in some builds of Maverick, Four Color Loam.
That was Four Color Loam. Rug Delver Loam.
And then there's four color. There's the four color back deck. Yeah, so the punishing deck is now playing like three of these guys.
Yeah, and Dax a jerk because he takes my vials. Yeah.
I don't like Renin 6 mostly because I like.
You don't like Planeswalkers.
No, just because I like Warren Instigator. Yeah. And Renin 6 makes Warren Instigator look pretty bad.
Yeah.
Just very annoying.
Here's a question. If Renin 6 ever got like super, super popular, I mean it is, but like even to a greater extent, would you guys ever consider... Yeah, super, super, double super. Would you guys ever consider playing a Pendlehaven again?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because we're playing a lot of 1-1s, like Munitions Expert coming in and then becoming a 2-3. That's kind of sweet.
Blocking is like 90% of the game, and we are very good at gumming up the board. So if you can just like survive long enough, and Pendlehaven helps you just block and play the attrition game well, then that in super super fair matters, then it's like the best thing to be doing.
Yeah.
I mean, have we thought about playing Renin 6 again, or at all? Can you imagine goblins plus Renin 6?
Somebody was suggesting that.
Yeah.
Sure seems hard to cast.
Yeah, you can't cavern that out.
Yeah.
Can't lack it. Can't lack it out.
Once you get it in play, you can cast everything for the rest of the game.
This is true.
Sure. I don't know about that.
The problem is that you're not going to play Jungle. Like, I think we have to play Black now, so it's like Goblins from default on will no longer be a mono red deck.
If you're going to be in that, trying to do that anyway, you'd be better off running like Chains of Mephistopheles, Renin 6, and really locking people out with Wasteland.
I guess.
No, so that's the thing. You don't need to play Loam Strip Mine. You can just play it as like a very good value card that, with the upside of occasionally, you will just sinkhole the piss out of people.
I could see a build where there's like a critical number of good 2-drops, like Sylvan Light. Well, this I'm building aggro loam. Never mind.
I do wonder, I've seen, like, I know Marcelo's tried builds of goblins where he's played Carpet of Flowers and or Sylvan Library, and Renin 6 could take those kinds of slots.
Kind of. And Steve just mentioned the Jund mana base, and it actually can be done. It's not dead hard. Like, I'm playing Fu King as well, and I was Jund. And the mana base is fine. It uses 5 colorless in 23 or 25 lands. It's just fine.
Mm. I mean, not at this, a just huge running stretch. Gemstone mines, whatever. Renin 6 will pick them back up. I don't particularly like him in a goblin shell. I don't think, other than enabling the Wasteland plan, which is really adding more of the mana denial plan and removing ports to make it more viable.
Yeah, that's a weird kind of thing. It's like, I'm cutting mana denial to add mana.
You can make your Pyrokinesis have retrace.
Cool.
All you gotta do is ultimate him and be in a matchup where you want that.
Okay.
I feel like I'm gonna pit the needle in six more than I'm gonna cast him.
Yeah, that actually raises an interesting point. I think sideboarding against decks is becoming trickier and trickier. I think I spend more time thinking about how to sideboard anything else. I think I'm always trying new things. Like if people watch my stream, I'm like, well, how the hell do I sideboard for this deck?
I'm gonna go so far as to say that means you weren't doing the right thing previously, and now you figured it out.
Well, I mean, I always agonized over sideboarding, but I feel almost at a loss now.
Maybe, yeah, because things change as well. Like Ren and Six, we were that a bit before the podcast. Like, we don't want to bring Python Needle against something like Canadian because they have Braid and they have Ancient Grud. You do not want Torn of Amethyst anymore because they just get back their lands and they play lands every turn. So it just changed how you have to sideboard against the matchup, which so we're a bit confused sometimes.
I mean, you guys were suggesting Magmatic Sinkhole, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we're still considering it.
That's
for classics.
An option out there.
Yeah. I mean, I did say at one point that I really wanted to try out Goblin Grenade just as like a deal five thing. Like Goblin Grenade as a weird control card. And I think Sinkhole kind of does that better than Grenade does because it also gets under Chalice.
It costs less resources.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to try a bit more Sinkhole. Like it.
Also, Magmatic Sinkhole is an instant and Grenade is not.
Also true, yes.
Pretty big. I don't know, we'll see on the Sinkhole thing. I thought that discussion we had before the podcast started about that was pretty interesting. We'll see how it
ends. Way to leave the listeners just... we had this discussion.
You're not going to get
You wouldn't
content.
Know about it.
I'm not seeing the problem here. We don't even know.
This is true. We don't know.
They're in the same
boat we are. That is. I've never, like, I feel like now, like, just after Dreadhorde Arcanist came out, but before Modern Horizons was legal, I feel like I had the best grasp of the meta that I've had, but you know, since my time playing, and now things are just fucking wild. There's new stuff happening so quickly that every single time I jump into the league, I'm always like, I feel like my build was made for last week's meta or the meta of 3 days ago, because it's just even the archetypes, the lists within the archetypes are changing so much. People are trying all sorts of crazy shit.
I think this is a good spot for 4.1.1 Steve rant about how much you have to change this deck versus another one when it changes.
I don't know. I pioneered a Bug Delver deck that was very, very good against the meta, and it played four Sinkhole on the sideboard, and it was fucking tremendous. And I top aided like Australia's biggest tournament, untested, having not played Legacy outside of 3 or 4 occasions in the last 12 months. And now it's all fucking gone because Ren and Six, and it's just like, what? Nice, dickhead. You picked up four beta Sinkholes. Your deck's now dead. See ya! it's actually kind of frustrating. Like, I actually broke the meta, and Bug Delver was, in my opinion, the best Delver deck of all time. Not of all time. That was 4-coded with Deathrite. No, the best Delver deck now. And now everything's all gone to shit. Imagine having Sinkhole in your hand while the control deck casts Ren and Six.
Sounds great. Love it.
Yeah.
Wait, is it Magmatic Sinkhole?
Yeah, is it Sinkhole or Magmatic Sinkhole?
No, Sinkhole.
Yeah, it's Magmatic Sinkhole.
Actual Sinkhole. That was so good. I mean, playing against this guy, he was playing like Blue Green 12 post. And with Sylvan Library, I've wasted anything four times and cast two Sinkholes.
Well, just play four Magmatic Sinkholes instead. It's like the same thing.
And he got so angry, and at the end when he conceded, he just like tossed down like Candelabra Tornos and said, "Well, I've got more money than you."
What? Wait, is that a real thing that happened?
Yeah, like he actually said, "Well, I've got more money than you." I don't think so, but
I've heard people do that ironically.
Yeah, his candelabras are pretty beat up, so I mean, I don't know how much they go for these days, but
also, I mean, man,
what good's a candelabra if you've been sinkholing his lands?
Yeah. Go untap your. He's Vesuva copying my Bayou.
Yeah, so, yeah. So the rapid meta changing is definitely making it difficult for us, I think.
Yeah, I think that's to be expected because we do tend to be, like, despite our creature base being proactive, all of the stuff we do after the creatures are in play is reactive, and that makes us more control-y than aggressive. And control has a hard time answering things they don't know.
Yeah, like, are we playing more Gore Marshals, or are we playing more...
You cut out on the important word there.
Are we cutting...
Probably Pile Driver.
Yeah, are we cutting more Pile Drivers or more War Marshals or more Kratom? Because, I mean, that's really, like, the deck building. Like, what do you want to be doing right now?
Yeah, and I have a hard time answering. I have to answer... Yeah. I can't answer that question right now because, like, my list has 12 one-ofs in the main deck. You know? I can't decide what is good. I feel a little all over the place because things... are so uncertain. Like, I felt confident with the Lacculus list, because that list has, like, a very kind of idealized game plan that it's trying to enact, and that was really nice about it. And I tried to incorporate the lessons the lessons from that into my normal list, and I feel like I have, because I've got the Church, and I've got the extra War Marshals, I've kept Pashlik around. But I'm still, you know, like, am I supposed to be playing War Chief at all? I feel like I have to play Chieftain because Plague Engineer is so popular. You know, all these kinds of these questions, and it's really hard to figure out, honestly.
Yeah, I just agree. The mate is so weird right now.
Yeah, there was weird changing the deck quite sometimes for a bit. Like, I was just thinking about six, and if you play a turn two Morgor Marshall, and then they play a Renan six, and you don't have a Haste Lord because you're playing less. It gets really awkward for us to kill Renan 6. But if you're playing a Steve list and you play a turn 2 Power Driver and they play a Renan 6, it's very easy to kill a Renan 6.
Yeah.
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 And our Power Driver seems good to me right now, but I don't have the slots for it because I feel like the other cards are more...
It's really weird that Anarchist punishes one and Renan 6 punishes the other.
Right.
Because Power Driver is very much a... You know, engine. Sort of like, you know, I watched Fast and Furious last night with my girl, so I'm gonna make some car references.
I'm ready for the weirdest fucking metaphor right now.
The first one, it's like, no, Power Driver is like the sort of. Now I understand how cars work before, like, Reddit autists have yet another go at me about everything I do. But, like, in the movies, they push, like, the NOS at the end to win the race, right? And
yes.
Power Driver sort of does that. It doesn't work without the rest of the car. So if they just kill everything or discard everything else, the Pile Driver is the worst card of all time.
He looks really bad on the surface. Killed a number of people with him, though.
But see, in Modern, Pile Driver is amazing because no one kills anything that, and they don't block anything that you do. And I don't know why.
Yeah,
I attacked with two War Chiefs and a Goblin Matron into a prime time, and he didn't block, so I got to Ewig Squad for one mana. And I'm still not sure why, because there was literally, I had one mana open, I basically cast everything.
He was really scared of Magmatic Sinkhole.
But he knew one of the cards in my hand. So, anyway.
F6.
No, he didn't. He thought about it and didn't block.
Playing around Goblin Grenade, probably.
I mean, from his point of view, it's like, if I risk blocking to this deck that I have no idea what's happening on, and I lose my Primeval Titan, I cannot win. So... That was sounds like it, because he had less meta knowledge, he was take it.
Yeah,
maybe legacy players are just way better than mine. Have we thought about that?
Or maybe he's on like 15th level and he was just like, "Yeah, this'll get him."
This'll get in my opponent's brain 3 days later, and that's the real victory.
Oh, you know it.
Yeah, it depends on like the meta and how you're gonna do it. I'm still obviously always gonna play for Power Drive always, but my meta is so combo heavy.
Yeah, so
I need to pull people away quickly.
Let's stick to Legacy for a moment, then move on. So where do you guys think Legacy is going to?
I have no idea. I'm terrible at this.
I want people to just be honest and play more combo. Honestly, I think if people were really honest about what was really good, right? We will be playing a lot more. This is not a rant. We will be playing a lot more combo and a lot more Grizzly Brand, but we don't, and so here we are.
But at least online, people were saying that they're Delver, which should be good against combo, no?
So yeah, Delver is really popular online, just almost absurdly so.
Ask any Storm player, Delver's terrible against them.
Yeah. Any Storm player, and Goblins as well.
I do think that's changing, though.
I do agree.
I think the Delver decks are getting better against Storm than they have been.
The payoff for playing Storm is being front-loaded. So there used to be, you know, you'd play your Storm card, you'd play all these spells out, and then you'd play Storm, and you'd have all this payoff. Now you get, like, Dreadheart Anarchist recasting, you get Young Pyromancer putting things into play, you get Monastery Mentor.
I just want to make sure you know what this card is called. It's Dreadheart Arcana.
No, I love Dreadheart Anarchist. I'm like, I'm going to do my own.
The other side, I mean decks like Show and Tell. I don't mean decks like Storm. Storm gets punished too much by... there are actual reasons to play main deck Thorn of Amethyst and Chalice of the Void now. Like, before, Dragon Stompy was kind of shitty. And there were, like, two or three good cards outside of the lock pieces. But now, have you played against those decks not playing Goblins? Like, every card is terrifying. You have to count up 50 cards or 40 cards in their deck. So to play Storm is probably a difficult time. But, like, what about Show and Tell? Doesn't give a fuck about Trinisphere. Doesn't give a fuck about Chalice.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Maybe that's probably why Brian Cook won the last league, no? Like, Tess, because it's faster than Tendril, than Storm.
I
would like to throw a defense for why I was calling that card Anarchist. You guys know what the card Anarchist is?
No.
Yeah, I thought Dreadhorde Arcanist was a throwback to the card Anarchist, which returns instants and sorceries.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
What set is this card from?
Anarchist.
How
is
many
from
of us
Exodus,
are searching
Odyssey.
It right now?
Me.
It's pretty old.
That's from Exodus. Exodus? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
I
legitimately thought it was a throwback, and I was apparently wrong.
It's like Scrivener, but different.
Yeah. Okay, my defense is out of the way now. I'm still going to call it Anarchist.
Dude, that is some dope-ass art. That's like something from Death Clock or whatever that heavy metal cartoon was.
Where I was going? Oh, yeah.
It is a human wizard. Oh, no, it's not even a wizard. It's
a townsfolk.
Yeah, it's a
zombie shaman.
So I think the meta, I mean, Delver is definitely dominating. So I feel like I don't understand why Chalice isn't just coming in and smacking the shit out of all these Delver decks. Because they're playing one Abraid. And once they play the Chalice, they can't cantrip for it. Like,
well, I'm telling you, four color Delver with main deck Abraid. Is going to be the best Delver deck.
All right, Steve.
Well, I mean, ask Max Dorshan or Lawrence Harmon, who aren't playing exactly mine. They're playing their own.
That's exactly the point of this, right? It's future prediction. I look forward to it, Steve.
Yeah.
I
look forward to Steve wins the three tournaments that he's going to play this year.
I mean, if people are
that was the joke, actually, last year, that the only tournaments I showed up to, I won. And that's how I made it to our state team for the state playoffs. I only turned up to 5 tournaments, but I won all of them.
We'll keep doing that.
Yeah, we'll do.
But I think if Delver is everywhere and people are building like these greedy as shit mana bases because they think they can because of Renesix, I feel like Moonstompy has to swing back around sometime.
Moonstompy is terrible against Miracle. I think is the big problem there, and so and like the other half that's doing it is like Maverick's also
terrible
like, kind of
against any deck.
Yeah, but it's bad
against Stoneforge Mystic, but Stoneforge isn't that popular.
So like the other half that could go that route, which is what I was postulating earlier, was that Maverick is good against like a bunch of these things too, but it's also pretty bad against Miracle. So you can blame Miracles for all of our problems.
I don't really think that Maverick is that good. I mean, Dougal, God bless your heart. I think the deck still stinks.
Why?
It's just not that good.
Okay, great argument.
No, I just don't think it attacks the meta very well. I don't think it's very powerful. I think it does like a lot of, like it's another reliquary deck, another reliquary isn't that good of a card anymore. Because
right.
It dies
so, like,
fucking every deck has like one mana by to kill.
I'm not
gonna say it's like a bunch of like one ones.
I don't know, I feel like Maverick's pretty powerful actually. Like Knight of the Reliquary seems like a great spot to be to me.
You're playing goblins, but have you ever like abrupt decayed one? Or like a fatal.
Alright, I know you just have a huge hard on for okay, but like the
Rogue Delver and I think that the better knight deck is, like, despite Maverick being better able to use knight, the better knight deck currently is Aggroloam, but Aggroloam is a Ren and Six deck.
Yeah.
And that's really...
Oh, look, I mean, you could be right. My experience of that card is biased. Of Maverick, because I played decks that have very good answers to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean,
I imagine...
I'm willing to admit that I don't think because I've played decks that beat the shit out of Knight of the Reliquary.
Yeah, I would imagine being a lands player and seeing a Knight of the Reliquary is terrifying, for instance. Especially when they could theoretically splash red and jam the Ren.
I mean,
Punishing Maverick was one of my favorite decks of all time. I just, you know, it always felt very underpowered. But depends. If we go to super, super, super fair, then Punishing Maverick is good.
I did see someone had like an insane heater with a three-color Maverick deck that it wasn't playing Punishing Fire, but it was playing red for Ren and Six, and they were saying it was really, really good.
I can see that. I mean, it's basically just Aggroloam, but heavy.
I mean, Punishing Fire now being able to take out three toughness things in conjunction with Ren and Six sounds pretty good to me.
Sure, but I think the idea was to not lean on, to not have to lean on the red as much and not have like so many removal spells and have just more proactive elements.
Win with synergy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just excited about goblins in modern. I don't know about you guys. Fuck Legacy. Friendship with Legacy ended. Now modern is my best friend.
Bad news for you, man. Modern's a lot faster.
Well, it didn't have force before. Now it has force. So let's see if people start using it.
Force of Negation doesn't even stop, like... It's a negate. That's really awkward, because when you jam a main board negate, you still lose to, like, all the shit that's coming down. Sure, like, it'd be great if it was Panda against, like, tagging an altar so Bridge can't do it, but you won't have to worry about that, because one of those cards is going to be banned. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of just negate, except for maybe in blue-white control.
Yeah, modern. I'm not a huge fan of modern. Like, I keep getting people asking me to play modern goblins. Like, oh, what do you think of modern goblins? And whenever I look at modern, it just looks like a pile of matchups that goblins would want to face.
Yeah,
I'm gonna play it. That's the same for everyone. And then you play it, and it's like, oh, Scape Shift, oh, Affinity, and you're like, Mog Fanatic, yes. Mog Fanatic was sick. He had seven cards in his hand on turn one. He played all of them, and then the only really impressive card was Steel Overseer. I played a game. I Mog Fanatic Steel Overseer, and then can you imagine what happened when I next played four Crater Makers and a couple of Trash Masters in my deck?
Yeah, Affinity seems like a good matchup.
There are lots of people playing Goblins in Modern online, and there are so many nice versions, like Instigator. You have the Aristo Goblins with Blood Artist.
That looks sweet, I gotta say. Yeah. That looks really sweet.
Yeah, it's the one I want to play the most. So, and people are doing well. So, I have no idea. Like, I just want to try it as well. It's so, like, imagine turn one Instigator. Oh, my God.
I'm not going to not play Legacy, but I don't think it's actually going to... Playing Modern is not actually going to cut into my Legacy playtime, like, at all, because of how hard it is to find paper games.
I'm just looking pretty modern. There was a team modern event where you could play any deck. It wasn't unified. Play whatever you wanted. There is the team of Ethan Gajewski, Oliver Tamaiko, and Jonathan Ross. All three of them are playing Blue Red Phoenix. All three of them.
Wait, I have a dream. 5 years from now, Steven is great at modern. He's winning everything with Goblins.
Yes,
and
me too.
Modern Horizons 5 comes out. And they print Show and Tell. That would be brilliant.
Why do you want to hurt me so much, bro? What have I done to you? What have I done?
It sounds like poetic. It sounds pretty poetic. I don't know if it's justice, but it's poetic.
That is a true Greek tragedy. I could write a play about that.
It's just all redacted.
I appreciate you censoring yourself.
Yeah, it's the one time I will censor myself. It's that violent of a reaction.
Wow.
My God. I actually don't want to play Modern Air, because what if they do that?
Well, then it's still legal in Legacy.
Or they just print like, oh, show and tell two mana. This is more fair because you can spell snare or something.
Five years from now, when you're playing Frontier 2 and show and tell is printed, that's when it'll happen.
I don't know. I'm really excited about Modern on the chance that show and tell doesn't come into it. It's like you get to learn about a new meta and you get to watch people like who are new to Goblins, and the lines they take are just so horrendous. Bad. And And the cards they discuss is just hilarious. Like, there was a point where they were talking about that Wart Bogart Auntie or whatever, you know, like the four mana one that gets... And you just think, yeah, we've had this discussion in, like, 2012.
Yeah.
Like, and then they say things like, oh, you're just a Legacy player. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, I think you do.
That like, happens in Legacy as well.
We spent our entire life dealing with fast combo.
Yeah. It triggered me a few weeks ago with people posted a deck list with Fetch Lens in red, and
no, not again.
How can you have the discussion again?
They're different people. You just have to remember that it's people who haven't learned the lesson yet. All we have to do is beat them with the article.
I mean, my favorite argument will always be that we should play mono red to beat back to basics with 12 basics and 11 basics. It's always going to be my favorite. Always. I mean, no matter what anyone ever says, you can't prove to them that statistics and mathematics are the same with you. You have 11.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm one card weaker out of 11.
Yeah. My experience says differently.
Yeah, we can all pat ourselves in the back in our Legacy Discord, looking like I'm throwing a little shade at the Modern one, but they've got some lessons to learn about how Goblins works, I think, and what cards are just categorically bad.
I'll throw them a fair shake and say that we probably have lessons to learn.
This is true. This is true. 100%.
I mean, they still think Mob Fanatic sucks, and I'm looking at a board of Noble Hierarch and Thalia Gunthrave and thinking, yeah, you want to play Skirt Prospector over that? And I'm saying they want 4 Skirt Prospector and 0 Mob Fanatic, as opposed to an even split.
If I wasn't on Warn Instigator, I'd be on a pile of... Maybe
you just send him my article.
I've given up trying to, like, have discussions with Magic people. That's why I do podcasts, so no one can talk back to me.
Hey, I heard that.
You can leave. You can write. No, as in like people. They can write a comment on Reddit, but I won't read it. And they can send me a message, but I won't open it. So.
Wow. Well, everyone, I read all the feedback. Makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. Usually.
Oh, because you write really like good things with like reason and research and like empirical data.
Empirical
data. I don't.
I guess
is there anything else that we want to talk about?
I just feel like we should have some sort of idea of like where do we want to go with our builds, like how, like what do we want to try next?
Winning. So winning
in
is
Legacy.
Good. I wrote the article talking about different lists that I think are fun. I do not know. I actually think Classic is the best one right now, to be honest.
I agree.
So, on that front, I'm really torn what I'm supposed to do, because I keep getting right about to update the primer, and then the meta changes drastically, and all the data is out of date again anyway.
Well, I mean, for those at home who aren't, I mean, I doubt anyone who's on a Goblins Play is going to listen to this. So they're not going to make it this far either. But on the off chance that some sadist out there does, when you say classic list, Marcelo, what do you mean, and what do you compare that to?
Oh, yeah. So if you read Olaf's primer source, explains quite well. So the classic list basically plays the Blackie, Matron, Spring Leaders with a Mana Denial and tries to create the... It has a combo cube with pile drivers and all. Just creates card advantage like normal goblins. But
and
we
can pivot
also,
quickly.
Yeah, it can play different roles. But we have different lists. So we've been playing with Food Chain, Mana Echoes, you just said. We've built Lucky lists, so lists with no Luckies, or one Ring Leader. So just trying different things, and they can be successful.
Yeah, I mean, the most success we have right now is with the Lackey. So and I both tried yeah. with it, and then I think two people won their paper events with it, which is fucking hysterical.
Yeah, I think it was all in 2 weeks, but no?
That's results. Yeah.
So yeah, the classic list is the one that mostly... play the core of goblins that we all know and love. Plays about 33 goblins.
Yeah, it's not about being an aggro deck like War and Instigator, the other traditional list that people played. But that I don't think that's a thing anymore right now.
Yeah, I was pushing Instigator with four Chalices of the Void main deck.
Yeah, and we haven't even tried to make Goblin Engineer Blade.
Oh.
Jesus.
Yeah. You can tutor up Thorn of Amethyst and sack it later for a Sword of Fire Knife.
Actually, people have tried it in the Discord, but...
Yeah.
Sounds awkward. I didn't catch that because there's a lot of chat going on there.
Yeah. I think the ultimate debate right now is like what to do about Haste Lords.
You're in a really weird spot.
Yeah. Because the slots are getting eaten up. The slots are getting tighter and tighter. And like, I feel like I want a little bit of everything, but I should probably pick a direction and just accept the losses that come from picking some certain flexibilities. But at the same, but it's a balancing act. Like, if you do that too much, then your decklist just loses to a lot of things and only beats like three things, and I don't want to be there.
That's like the irony of Legacy is that it's so interactive that cards like Goblin War Chief feel kind of shit because they are just hill giants a lot of the time.
Right.
They can facilitate the insane. Like they work so well with Vile, and they work so terribly without Vile.
Yeah, a card that makes my whole deck cheaper and faster is not fast enough.
Yeah, whereas in Modern, Goblin War Chief is just fucking bonkers. Because if you survive to turn three, and you cast it, they for some reason don't ever have removal.
Yeah.
And then you just deploy everything, and then they die.
The removal is really light in Modern. Everyone's really pushing their own game plan.
Which is good for us, because we can go so wide so quickly and keep the cards flowing. So that's why I feel like War Chief is a 4-of in Modern. But in like Legacy, it's like a 2 or a 3-of maximum.
In Modern, you know, someone might, you know, throw a bunch of Arclight Phoenixes at you on turn 3, and if you untap with the War Chief, you're going to do a hell of a lot more 9 damage coming at them the other way.
With a Sling Gang, because you don't want to die either.
Right, you just go. I mean, if you just go like turn 3 War Chief, turn 4 Sling Gang Pile Driver, that's what?
Lethal, probably.
9, 10, 11.
You were playing the game before that, too.
Yeah, but assuming no damage, that's 14 damage. And then, so sack 5, so then you 5 dudes to sack, so 19. So
I killed my Scape Shift opponent from 21 life in one turn yesterday.
That's what Pile Driver's for.
Yeah. It was. Pretty fucking dope.
Maybe next stream I'll try out. What if I go heavy into Haste Lords, heavy into Pile Drivers, and see
I
how it
works. I was actually
thinking
that
I think
as well.
In Legacy, so here we go. We can all disagree because I feel like in Legacy it's the worst thing to do.
I just
so
don't know.
Steven, so much discard, you know, so much removal.
Wow, how the tables
you know
have turned.
Yeah, Steven, this is recorded for posterity. Okay, you're saying that Pile Drivers are bad.
Why do you think I've moved to Modern, man?
So, wait. the show and tell pilots got to Steven. Now he's a plant.
Oh, no.
No, I've said I just quit Legacy.
He's been replaced by a clone.
I'm the modern correspondent. You know how there's like the foreign correspondent? I'm the
You're
modern
a liaison?
Correspondent. Yeah.
So, still plenty of room to try out new things, I guess. We'll just have to see.
Like, I feel like Crater Maker went from a very 4-3 up to like dropping. I'm only playing 2 now.
In which
there's
format?
In
Legacy.
There's okay. less Stoneblade yeah. than there was.
Yeah, I feel like 2 is the right number right now.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. I've still got 4. I'm just looking at my list. I've got 4 Pile Drivers in my Legacy list, but it's only got 2 Warchief and 1 Chieftain as my Haste Lords.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Crater Maker lost. I mean, it didn't lose anything. It just got more toys. So it got Munition Expert as for the creature, so it need less Crater Makers.
And right. you can save your Crater Makers yeah. for the equipment if you worry about that. The experts will handle the creatures for yeah. you. Also,
and Crater Maker is very slow as well.
Yeah.
Like, it does require either Vial yeah. 2 Ender Mana or 3 mana.
3 mana, yeah.
Or 5 mana. The where I like Crater Maker the most list, where I could go turn 1 Lackey and turn 2 Tomb, Ancient Tomb, and Crater Maker.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, buddy of mine, a couple, I guess, if you want to call it seasons, because the meta keeps shifting, a couple seasons ago tried out a heavy Chain Whirler, heavy red yeah. mana influence deck, and yeah. maybe, I think I'll give that a shot again, because it was all in, it just ran 4 Chieftain. And, like, that's a really weird thing to do, but it fights a lot of the ping problem. And maybe right. if the synergy is pushing it far enough that I'll just get there. Because if I have yeah. 4 Chieftains and 1 Trash Man, you know, maybe.
Yeah, they just like kind of, you just power through all of it.
Mm-hmm. I'll give a look at that later.
If you have stuff on board and there are like 2/2s, Renin 6 is pretty bad, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The deck mainboarded 4 Pile Drivers, so it's already got that going against Renin 6. It's arguably mm-hmm. at its worst against Dread Horde, but maybe that's solvable with something dumb. Both.
Yeah.
Well, like, the deck is already red heavy, so maybe I could just run Bolt. I don't know. I'll look into it and come back to you.
Yeah. So
yeah,
come
there
to the Goblin's Discord and
yeah.
check out all the new tech.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes for it, but it's something I haven't tried.
Cool.
Basically, cool. I just went like 5 days off play golf.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Just like
yeah.
try all the versions.
Yeah, I'd love to like get in a stream with like each of you and try like a different build that each of you came up with and see how it plays out. I think that'd be cool to do.
He's gonna give you
oh,
a
that was sweet.
What?
You're gonna have a hard time with me. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve. Do you like yell at your computer screen while you watch my VODs?
No. I'm always okay. impressed that you actually, the some of the situations that I will just concede to, you somehow find your way out. That Bug Delver game was incredible.
Oh, yeah. That Bug Delver game was awesome.
Like, you beat Gurmag, Goyf, and Flip Delver from, like,
yeah.
4 lands, no Vial or something.
And yeah, I was at 4.
It's what else?
Krenko plus Caracas, and then Land Churgeon. Mm.
I mean, with a little help of Relic, but...
Yeah, the Relic was pretty clutch, yeah.
And Crater Maker was pretty good in this spot, too.
Oh, that's another thing I have to figure out, how many Relics.
I love Relic. Relic's so good. Relic has, like, always been, like, my favorite sideboard card.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like it's the removal, the graveyard hate that our deck likes the most.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. The argument is that Relic is a graveyard hate card against, per se, against Reanimator and Dredge. It's a graveyard hate against Goyf, against Knight of Rurelka, against now Renin 6. So it feels a different purpose.
Yeah. It's fine against Dredge. It's just too slow.
Yeah, it's a good fair card, and that's unfortunate because it's not Crypt or Surgical.
Right.
Yeah, it's an addition to the grave hate. It's not like what's there for.
So I mean, maybe. Actually, maybe
it used to be good
makes me think.
Things change.
Yeah. I wonder if I could just change my sideboard from one relic, one crypt, one cage, one surgical to just two relics, two surgicals.
I like that.
That's what I'm running.
Nice, okay. I mean, I love me some Tormod's crypts.
I'm on that in two Tormods right now instead of surgicals.
You're playing six Grave Ape? No. Surgicals.
No, I've tried two relics, two surgicals. It's too slow against the Unfit. But if you're happy to throw them away, then.
Yeah, I mean, let's just all
I
just.
I'm two surgical, one Tormod, one relic.
We'll run a 20-card sideboard and a 65-card main deck.
Wow. Thanks, I'm cured. That's beautiful.
Surgical is just good against some things. It just answers some problems that one Tormod script's not going to answer. Sometimes it is Punishing Fire. Sometimes you Wasteland Dark Depths and you Surgical it.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that anymore. It pairs really well with discard spells.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that as well. So I don't know. I think.
And for me, it never does what I. Maybe.
Oh, I think one thing I wanted to mention when it comes to that I feel like I finally was able to articulate is somebody asked me why I'm not playing discard spells right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk about that because I was playing and I just got it during this podcast.
And...
I actually cut mine too. Go on.
Okay. Yeah.
Let me just find what I said.
You're gonna quote yourself.
Yes, I'm gonna quote. Well, I just don't want to be contradictory. So it's about when your combo hate does double duty, and therapy does double duty as your combo hate, but when it hits non-wasteland midrange as its like secondary purpose. So it'll hit Grixis Control Heart. It's good against Blue-White Stoneblade. It's good against stuff that's trying to go really big sometimes. Like I like therapy against like Nykfit. The Punishing Dak deck. Those kinds of decks. So mid-range control stuff. And then if the combo is more along of Sneak and Show, then that's when you really want the discard spells. Or Depths is another good example. But if the combo decks are Storm, Storm, Bomberman's a big one. Elves, Chalice is better than Therapy against Elves, but Therapy's still fine, but Chalice is better. The Chalice based sideboard will be more successful. So, and if the premier fair decks are more tempo decks, Chalice is very good against all these Arcanist Delver decks. So if tempo and combo are what you're trying to hit, Chalice is what you should be going for. If you're looking at mid-range and combo, discard is what you want to go with supplemented by like 1 to 2 Thorns.
Yeah, that is good. Playing the Lackless main deck. I was just siding it out so much against decks.
Right.
So, yeah.
I don't think the discard spells are why the Lackulus deck is good. I think it's good because it really emphasizes the synergies of like all the tokens and the Pashalix and the Sack Outlets. I think it really exploits that.
And it's
not
weak to something that's naturally occurring in the format.
Exactly, yeah.
It's taking advantage of it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's my bit on sideboarding. That's like the one thing I'm confident about right now is like, why am I not playing discard spells?
I mean, I also cut mine, and for without being as articulate as you, the reason was they weren't doing enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the short version.
I'm just playing more chalices, so I wanted cards that complement the overall game plan as opposed to just hoping to have one or the other. I would like to have everything to work together.
So, well, yeah.
Chalice
at least there's another thing we agree on. So long as it's not a goblin.
Yeah, that's the main thing
of this. Chalice in the sideboard's like very good right now. I hate that it turns off my red elemental blasts and stuff like that. But I just the only matchup where I'm bringing in both is Storm and Sneak and Show. I don't bring in Chalice against Miracles, which probably like surprises a lot of people.
I don't either. I think that's a trap.
I think it's a trap as well. And you know, if I have Chalice on one against Storm, I'm probably fine, you know, having my rep be turned off. But it is really obnoxious against Joe.
Yeah.
But I just pretend that deck doesn't exist, so.
Hmm. What deck?
Sneaker.
What deck?
Oh, right.
You figure if Delver is...
Sorry, you cut out again, buddy. If Delver was...
Very popular. What? Yeah, we can just not play combo hate.
That's the big dick energy play.
Yeah.
If you mean my side doesn't have the biggest fucking cock of all time.
So, like, no combo hates what? Our sideboard's quad, pyrokinesis, three red elemental blasts for, you know, back to basics.
Yeah, yeah.
Some three pipping needles.
Engineers.
Couple that's... pyrostatic pillars for some rando control deck. They're not even four combo. You're just running them.
I mean, that could maybe work. And then you're going to play Belcher like I did.
Yeah, then you'll just play against Oops All Spells, Belcher, and I don't know, some other bullshit.
No, but you have Surgical Extraction against Oops.
True.
And Chain Rip.
I lost to Julian on Belcher, and I honestly could have won both games realistically if I had. So game one, he had like an empty for 10 goblins, and
beatable. Yeah.
All I needed to draw was a Matron for Chain Whirl, or just like a couple of dudes. Like I could have just blocked through all the goblins eventually, but I just drew, you know, a War Marshal, and that was my only creature because I put my other one on the bottom because I was like, oh, this is against elves. I need my three red sources. And then he's like, Belcher. But and then game two, I had like turn one, Chalice on zero, Needle on Char Belcher. And then he plays LED into the Chalice pass. And then I miss my second land drop to play my Thorn. Play Lackey. He makes like 16 goblins. And then I'm just like, all right, well, if I had drawn this Thorn, could have won.
You did attack, right? Just to make him block.
I would have. I don't think I did.
Give him the most opportunity to mess up.
Oh no! I didn't attack because I could have drawn Pyrokinesis. I started in two pieces. Yeah.
If your game plan is hope Julian fucking whatever his surname makes a mistake, I would just proceed.
Yeah, right.
Probably not.
Fair as that is, I'm sure he's gotten a number of wins on letting his opponents make mistakes too.
I know. You play the man, not the ball. But in this case,
yeah.
In this case, forget about it.
All right. So those decks still exist. People like testing out London Mulligan and trying out a bunch. I see people playing Oops. I see people playing a lot of Black Hood Reanimator still.
By the way, do we all love the London? I do.
If it gets Grizzlebrand banned, I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, that was basically my hope. If it does nothing, then fast combo gets better. The end. Not by enough to do anything, just better.
Yeah.
Well, I'll never bet it. It's a pillow of the fucking ball, man. Losing to a 7/7 flying lifelink Yawgmoth's Bargain is an integral experience of the format, and here at Wizards of the Coast, we hope you all love getting fucked by it. Fuck you.
Love that Steve rant counter by one.
We're at 5.5, just for track.
5.5.
All right.
Well, earlier you said that wasn't a rant, and I only half agree.
All right, are we all set? Do you guys have any final thoughts?
We are donezo. Right.
Man, right. It's 3:30 in the morning here.
Yeah, get some rest, Marcelo.
Appreciate it.
Broadcast number two, my fellow kings and I heading off. Do you guys want to say goodbye?
Yes, thank you everyone for watching. Goodbye. Check out Goblin Lucky One on Twitch if you want to watch my stuff.
Oh yeah, let's just do some plugs. So you're Goblin Lucky One on Twitch and YouTube. Marcelo,
it's so stupid. So my YouTube channel is
it cut out. Your YouTube channel is what?
Marcelo Scatena, which is basically my name.
Yes.
Dogs. Twitch it Twitch is ScatmanXX because I don't know the password to ScatmanX.
Marcel, I think I noticed, are you on Reddit? Are you Scat Ma'am? Like with
yeah.
Is it the same reason?
With an M. Yeah, because I don't know the account. So annoying. Yeah, check out those channels, yeah.
John, is there anything you want to plug?
I got no plugs. I have too much stuff to do.
Yeah, I feel you. But I'll be writing some more stuff for the Salt Line, assuming I get some time off, which I doubt. But
thanks for listening.
In the odd event that I do, everything I do is on the Salt Line, and I do a lot of shit posting on Twitter, so that's the podcast, I think.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, until next time, keep goblining for my kings.
Will do. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Or night.
Friends.